Welcome to this special edition of the 920 Podcast. Today we have VFL Greg McMichael. Greg is a local Knoxville product. He played for the Vols back in the late 80s, and he also won a world championship with the Atlanta Braves. He threw out the first pitch against the Bulldogs on Saturday. We're going to hear what McMichael has to say about this group, about Tony V and the boys, and the excitement surrounding the Tennessee baseball program. And we welcome Greg McMichael to the show. For those that don't know, McMichael is a local Knoxville product out of Webb School. He went to the University of Tennessee, towed the rubber for the Vols, then went on to have a really good MLB career. And he's a world champion. He bleeds orange. And so we thought he'd be a great guest to bring on and talk about the Vols. I know, Greg, I spoke with you, it was about this time last year, about Tony Vitello and the ascension of the Tennessee Volunteer Program, and you're pretty impressed. But at that point you hadn't really got to see the interactions up close. But this past weekend you got to throw out the first pitch on Saturday against the Bulldogs. What were your takeaways being able to, you know, be with those guys up close and personal and talk to Tony V? And I'm sure Lindsey Nelson looked a little bit different than what the last time you visited. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I had a great time. I appreciate Carmen Degano and Tony bringing me up and allowing me to be a part of watch batting practice. I'll tell you what, since meeting Tony last year, headed down to the stadium, Tennessee night, brought his whole staff down. Took care of them. We had a great time really getting a chance to talk. So this year, I wanted to make a point to get up there and see them play. And thankfully, ESPN's probably covered every game I've been able to watch them. So I've seen a lot of the series. I watched the Vanderbilt series, Ole Miss series, and Auburn series. So it's been a lot of fun being able to watch this team play. And I'll tell you what, they are clicking on all cylinders. I love their pitching staff. I love what they're doing. And obviously they're hitting the ball. They've got good defense. And I'm really, really excited about what I'm seeing about the program. Of course, when I played there back in the late 80s, we were struggling to kind of find our identity. And then Delmonico took over. And that's when Todd Helton and some of those guys were there. And they had a really good run there for a while. And now to see Tennessee back in the spotlight, being ranked number one in the country, shoot, I think they're really primed and ready to go deep into the playoffs and hopefully win us a world championship.
You mentioned the pitching staff and being a pitcher yourself. I mean, how impressive is it to? I mean, it's like this rotation and this staff just—it's never ending. They've got alpha dogs. You know, for days, it seems like. Have you ever seen or been a part of a staff like that? I mean, obviously, you're a part of some amazing staffs in the major leagues, but at this level, at the college level, have you ever seen anything like that?
I mean, I haven't studied college baseball a lot, but just from what I've been watching and looking at their starting staff and the bullpen, they are definitely pounding the zone and throwing strikes. They got multiple pitches. They got guys that throw hard. They got guys that throw a little easier with a lot of movement. I've just been very impressed of how complete the staff is. And, yeah, you can talk about their hitting a lot. I mean, they've got some of the top leaders in the country in batting average and how many home runs they've hit. But I'll tell you what, when you're only keeping teams to 2-3 runs a game, it makes it a lot easier for those hitters.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's what's so special is, you know, you look at the stats and across the country, they're seemingly in the top 10, top 5 in every statistic, whether it's pitching or hitting. You know, we didn't really think that we would be here at this point. You know, going back to the beginning of the season, we were dealing with a brand new infield, basically, in terms of starters. You know, last year's team was really, really good. You know, you and I talked about that last year. and how tough that lineup was. But, you know, you turn the page to this season and you're dealing with a lot of new faces, and then in particularly the infield, new starters everywhere except for first base with Luke Lipsius. Evan Russell's an SEC staple, but he's at a new position at catcher. And it's like they didn't miss a beat. They're actually, they seem to be better defensively in the infield. We knew the outfield was going to be there with the athleticism with Beck and Gilbert and whoever's in the other corner. But, you know, let's talk about Russell for a minute. You've been a part of some amazing batteries throughout your career, I would imagine. Russell, being able to switch positions like that, and catcher's brand new to him, for him to be able to handle this talented pitching staff the way he has, I mean, speak to that. I mean, how big is that? How rare is that to be able to do?
Well, it's very rare. You don't see guys moving to the catcher position. You see guys leaving the catcher position. I think about Dale Murphy. I think about Craig Biggio. Those guys went from catcher to other positions and were very successful. And it is very difficult to not only make that adjustment to be able to be a decent catcher back there, but then when you think about handling a pitching staff, I give him a lot of credit. That is not something easily done. And then to be very successful at it, this pitching staff, like I said, is very well-rounded. You're handling guys that are throwing, I mean, you know, what Joyce is throwing, 105 miles an hour, right? I mean, he's hitting 102, 105. And then you've got guys coming in, moving the ball, sinking it. Everybody's got sliders. I don't know if he's caught much in his background, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't look like it's a new position for him.
Yeah, he's been able to man that position quite well. And, you know, you can kind of deal with the, in terms of the stolen bases, you can kind of deal with that when Tennessee, for one, has the offense that they do, and then the defense to back up some of the pitching. And at the end of the day, just his command, I feel like they've done a really good job just focusing on him being able to command the game with the pitching staff and being able to receive the ball really well. And the stolen bases, that really, yeah, that's a weakness, but it kind of balances out when you factor in Tennessee's offense and the way they go about their business.
Well, if you have a good pitching staff, it's going to help you mitigate some of those stolen bases. I mean, the game has changed to some degree where you're not seeing guys steal as much, at least at the big league level, and I'm sure that's trickled down a lot to the college level, but I don't think there's as big an emphasis on that. But if you're hitting, you're playing defense, got a pitching staff that's limiting the gap, the balls in the gap, then you're going to be successful. So that's probably why it hasn't hurt them a whole lot. But I think it's just amazing for somebody to come in. And you look at this team, how they've been able to get better. And I think back to 2020 when the team was really good and they had to get shut down because of COVID. And yep. Then last year they go to the World Series. It was great that they got to the World Series because it probably set them up this year where it's not as new, and now they can go deeper, you know, into the College World Series. It won't be as familiar, you know, won't be unfamiliar to them. So they're probably primed and ready to be, you know, to make a really good run for them. So I'm excited to see what happens. You know, the thing about it is that this is a new season. You know, once, now of course, they've got one more series with Mississippi State, but the what you do in the season doesn't always translate what you do in the postseason. So this team's got to finish strong, put it behind them, and then just act like a new season starting. And then as they go into the regionals, super regionals, and get to the College World Series, you really got two more seasons. You got the regional play that they'll, you know, they should do well in. But then when they get to Omaha, it's going to be like starting over again, and that's where they got to change their mindset, and they can't think about, you know, what happened during the season. It's just going to be a whole new ballgame.
Again, with the pitching staff, and to go along with what you're saying about, you know, you going forward, it's kind of fragmented in different sections. You got Hoover and then Omaha. Like we saw last year, Mississippi State got run ruled at Hoover the first two games. And then when the tournament starts, they made that run and won the whole thing in Omaha. So, what I wanted to ask about the pitching staff, you know, Tidwell was on ice to begin the season, and the Vols were dealing with two freshmen and then a newcomer and Chase Dolander transferring in from Georgia Southern, and nobody really knew what to expect there, and they've been phenomenal, and Tidwell comes back, you know, halfway through the season and, you know, trying to work his way in. Then as soon as that's getting figured out, Dolander gets hit with a line drive, goes out for a couple of weeks. But they've also, they've got depth, obviously, in the bullpen. And it's, everybody was wondering, okay, how, we've got four legitimate guys, and then, you know, there's Sechrist who starts midweek, but that's kind of his role and that's his thing. So everybody was trying to figure out, how are you going to squeeze these four guys into a weekend role? And that, based on how Tony V has used the pitching staff lately, it seems like that was the least of concerns, because over the weekend against Georgia, you know, we were seeing Burns and Beam out of the pen, and Dolander was on, you know, a little bit of a pitch count there. So going forward, like, how important do you think it is? Like, would you rather have, you know, a set three or four guys that you count on, or do you think they're better off kind of just throwing who they want based on matchups and being able to say, hey, you know what, we don't need a guy that throws 100 pitches. We can throw a guy out there for 60 to 70 and bring in another guy that's starter material, ace material, would be a number one guy on other teams. You know, how do you see it shaking out? What's best for them, you think?
First of all, we got to give a lot of credit to Frank for what he's done with that pitching staff. I mean, you talk about Tony being a great recruiter and managing the team, but I mean, you can't do the things you've done without a great pitching coach that's down there working with these guys day in and day out. So we got to give them a lot of credit. I got a chance to meet him for the first time, and I've heard nothing but great things about him. And obviously, how these guys are pitching speaks a lot about what he's doing with them. And, you know, the game's changed a little bit from the standpoint of you're not always looking for just, you know, four horses that are going to go and pitch eight, nine innings. There's a greater dependence upon the bullpen and bringing guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning. And depend a lot upon obviously what these guys have done all year. You're not going to take guys out of their normal routines. So if they've been starting for you and been very successful, as we've seen, they've won, what, 45 games now? So if they've done that all year with the guys, you're going to continue to throw them out there. Now, because it's the regionals and because it's the World Series, you're probably not going to maybe give them, you know, that sixth and seventh inning where you may have done that in during the regular season, but you're gonna manage that a little closer, knowing that you've got a lot of fresh arms out there. But I think you're still gonna run the same guys out there because the matchups are not. I mean, they pitch in the SEC, which is as tough a conference as there is. It's not gonna change as they get into these regional games and in the World Series. They're gonna still be playing really good teams. Think about Auburn was 8th, Georgia was 22nd at one time. Ole Miss was number 1. LSU's in the top 15. So you're still playing the best teams in the country, and you ran your starters out there. I don't see them making many adjustments other than do we manage it a little tighter in those sixth, seventh innings, and we don't give as, you know, as big a leash or long a leash for some of these guys to work themselves out of jams. You're probably going to make it, you're going to have a little bit quicker hook.
You mentioned Tony and Frank Anderson, and it's kind of you know, a two-headed monster here. Like you said, Tony with the recruiting side of things and managing personalities and guys feeding off of that. And then Frank, one of the best pitching coaches in college baseball. Being able to have those conversations with Tony and with Frank, getting to know those guys better, what are some of your takeaways? Did you have a moment where you're like, that aha moment where you're like, okay, this is why this program is heading in this direction?
I mean, just the things that I've read and the conversation I've had with Tony and understanding his background and then being around the staff just to see that these guys have all bought in and they're highly competitive. And, you know, the game is a little bit different. And I'm sure the recruiting process, if you have a young staff that is getting after it, they're going to relate to these kids a lot better than if you had a bunch of guys my age. You know, I think you need a good mixture. You need guys with a lot of good experience. And Frank's one of those guys that's been around the game a long time. He's had a son that's pitched at the highest level. So I think he's probably really good for some of those young guys, especially pitchers on the mound. But then, you know, Tony's out there beating the bushes and probably just does a great job of bringing that energy to the team. And a lot of these guys love it. I mean, on social media and bouncing all over the country, recruiting these guys. And then, you know, you have to have a program that stands out. And Tennessee, for so long, you know, the baseball program, you know, is taking a back seat to some of the other things that are going on. So you have to have a personality. I mean, I think back about the basketball program, and you think about where they were for a while, and all of a sudden they get Bruce Pearl, and his personality just kind of transcended. And, you know, he's done the same thing down at Auburn, but he did the same thing in Tennessee. And he brought that men's basketball team into the forefront. And a lot of it was based on his personality. So I kind of relate to that when I see what Tony's doing from the baseball side. Plus, he also has cut his teeth in a great program at Arkansas. Arkansas made a huge turnaround in their program, and now he brings Tennessee. He brings a new energy, his personality. He brings in the right staff. And now he's bringing in all the top players in the country. So I'm not surprised by it. But it's great to see, especially being an alum and wanting to see this program do well. And then seeing, well, we only have 4,500 people out there, 4,300 there. And,
yep.
And according to Bailey, who I was talking with Game Entertainment, she said it's been that way all year. So that's very exciting to see.
And you're a local product. In terms of the recruiting, how big is that – you know, when you look at some of these stars, so to speak, wearing the orange right now, some of them are freshmen that are in-state guys. Drew Beam, Chase Burns, you know, the list goes on. How big is that? Not only to put up a fence, so to speak, around the state, but the talent in the state is amazing. I mean, the Knoxville area and the mid-state is phenomenal. How big is that to kind of, you know, get a grip on the talent in state and not let those guys on the West End, you know, have as much fun with that?
Yeah, I love having the baseball in general in the state of Tennessee get better, and love to see guys who are being recruited in state or coming to play in Tennessee. I think it just means more to them wanting to represent their own state. I think also it plays into the fact that, you know, here in Georgia, especially in Atlanta with what's happened, this has become kind of the mecca for baseball. And I think Tennessee's benefiting from that because we're just 2.5 hours from East Cobb and Lake Point and all the things that are going to Atlanta Braves. Everything in the Southeast, I believe, from a baseball perspective, talent, the state of the game, how it's being played, has all benefited from being here in the Southeast. Of course, you see it in football. But I think baseball has benefited from being in close proximity to what's going on here in Atlanta. And I've been a part of it for a long time, and I'm proud that me working with the Atlanta Braves, we're continuing to push that and continue to help the game grow and see more and more talent. I think just people are moving in here from around the country, and the game is continuing to get better. And I think Tony is, you know, I've talked with him, he spent some time down here recruiting. And this is just a hotbed for them to be able to bring guys up. But I think Tennessee being so close has benefited from that as well.
Now, before we let you go, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention your latest championship run with the Atlanta Braves. I'd imagine your jewelry collection picked up a notch recently, right?
Yeah. They were very generous. Everybody in the front office, they gave us rings, and they're not the players' rings, but they're close. They're pretty special, and it's been a lot of fun. A lot of people that I work with, it's their first championship. They part of something really special. Fortunately, I got to experience that back in 95, and then going through it again in the front office this year was a lot of fun. It brought back great memories and loved seeing what this team did, their personality, their character, all the things that they endured, and being able to watch our organization get on top. And we felt like that, at least from a business standpoint, we were number one, and then to be able to prove that on the field and be recognized for all the hard work was pretty fun.
What was the difference? Because, you know, that team, you know, mid-season loses their best player in Ronald Acuña. And at the time, they were fighting to be a 500 club and just kind of grip and hang on, and maybe they catch a run, a week or two run, and kind of bolster their position in the division and fight for the playoffs. But then August rolls around, and from August on, they were the best team in baseball, and they carried that momentum in the playoffs. And they did so taking down a Brewers pitching staff that was phenomenal. I know they were minus Devin Williams, but then took care of Milwaukee and took down the Dodgers and then the Astros in phenomenal fashion. What was the key for that team to kind of have that late surge and to not let it go?
Well, as everybody noticed, I mean, we were basically a 500 team going into August, and the team was really good. I mean, we had a few injuries. We just weren't clicking, whether defense and pitching were going and hitting wasn't, or hitting was doing well and pitching and defense was struggling. It's just they never got to the point where everything was clicking. Then at the trade deadline, Alex brought in a few key players. He signs Jock Peterson right before the deadline. Then during the deadline, he gets Soler, and he brought in Rodriguez from Pittsburgh. He made a trade. Eddie Rosario came in from Cleveland. And he brought Duvall back from the Marlins. And I don't know, sometimes when you get a few pieces like that, guys are looking for their next contract. Guys are came from a bad situation. And then all of a sudden, they get to a new situation where they feel like that it's a better fit for them. I mean, you just never know. You know, there's a whole chemistry thing. There's just there's something that a player sometimes just needs a breath of fresh air. So I think you got to give Alex a lot of credit for coming in. But then you also have to give those players a lot of credit for coming in and fitting in with this team. That's not always an easy situation. It just so happened that all of them hit and started performing at a high level. They turned their seasons around. Soler was really struggling in Kansas City. Eddie Rosario had been hurt most of the season. Duvall had been playing really well, so he didn't really change. He had already been with this team before. So when they all got here, yeah, I think it just picked the team up and took them to the next level. Now, fortunately, the division was floundering as well, so there was nobody had taken charge from the Mets to the Marlins to Philly. Nobody had taken charge of the division, so that helped. This year is a little bit different situation because the Mets are playing good baseball. I don't think we can wait till August to turn it around, but last year was pretty phenomenal to watch. I wouldn't bank on that happening again. I think that was a pretty unique situation. I'm sure Alex doesn't want the pressure of trying to bring in four or five guys at the deadline to turn a season around. I think it's just one of those things that we caught lightning in a bottle, and the circumstances were right for us to make a run and to win the World Series.
Yeah, one of the greatest trade deadline collections in history, and I agree, you touched on it. I don't think you can take those same guys and put them on any other club and have the same result. It was just like the perfect mixture, and it was pretty special to watch. Now, are you involved in any sort of way with the draft committee? Do you have any input at all? Because I didn't know if, you know, there's a couple of Vols that'll probably be going in the first round, and I've seen some projections, Tidwell, Beck, around between 15 and 20 or so. If one of those guys is sitting there, are you going to be beating on somebody's door or tapping on somebody's window and trying to
lobby for? I mean, I know that we were up there watching the games. We had some scouts there, so I would love to have them be a part of our organization. situation, but fortunately that is not a part of my role, but I'll definitely be cheering for them if they do.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to see. I mean, both those guys from Braves country, Tidwell, a Tennessee guy, and Jordan Beck from Hazel Green, Alabama. I know the Braves, they love to get guys from Braves country, so we'll wait and see how that goes. Greg, I appreciate you hopping on and chopping it up with us. We'd love to do it again, and I'm sure you'll be checking out the Vols as they try to take care of Mississippi State this weekend, and then from that point, it's Hoover and then a mission to Omaha, so it'll be fun to watch. Thanks for hopping on with us, Greg.
You got it. Yeah, nice seeing you, Logan. Take care.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye.